From the Bill Island Personal Injury Lawyers Traffic Center, wrapping up the accident, southbound 65 at Airport, also Airport and Hillcrest had a disabled vehicle slowing up traffic. Looks good downtown across the Bayway, westbound I-10, right at the Daphne Overpass, still got an accident to the left inside shoulder. Bill Island Personal Injury Lawyers are lawyers you can count on for your case, from car, motorcycle, and truck accidents to slip and falls, animal bites, and wrongful death. For free consultation, go to lawcallbill.com and call 251-255-5000. You know, came to the F Talk 106.5 traffic.
News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. First things first, our number one big review, three big things. Congress did officially passed that package with $9 billion in spending cuts. So that's on President Trump's desk this morning.
Yeah, it's just step one, right? Yep. They're going to keep cutting as long as they can. I guess two Republicans in the House opposed it. One from Ohio, and I can't recall where the other one was from.
Really didn't know the names.
Two Republican senators voted against the bill before it made its way to the House. That ended up just being Murkowski and Collins. Opposite ends of the country. One from Maine and one in Alaska.
Right. As far as the House, it was Brian Fitzpatrick. He's from Pennsylvania. Mike Turner from Ohio. So two states that are right next to each other, actually.
And before we get into the news, just a couple things. So you have the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo officially started 3 hours ago after the Liars contest last night. I'd love to hear from you if you were in attendance at the Liars Contest and for the musical show that followed. How was it last night? It looked like, from what I saw, the weather looked like it was just fine. You have the Dolphin Street Vault tomorrow, all day down on Dolphin Street.
That's kind of fun.
And this weekend, just a reminder, back-to-school tax-free weekend. So if you're getting that back-to-school shopping done, you have no state tax on many of those items. And also pretty much, from what I can gather, every single municipality around here has also waived the local sales tax, so good 10% at least off for most of those items. That all leads to, is Monday the 21st, I believe, yeah, Monday the 21st, we have a back-to-school, they're looking for helping folks in Baldwin County, one-stop registration for all Baldwin County Board of Education schools. They said if you've lost your student number, we have it and can help you register. Registration help back to school July 21st, 8 a.m. to noon. They'll be on site to help you in Loxley, 1091 B Avenue, Loxley, Alabama. We had some folks who wanted us to put that out there. So Monday, 8 a.m. to noon, if you need a little assistance registering for getting back to school in Baldwin County, 1091 B Avenue, Loxley Avenue. They'll have you covered on Monday.
It's also a big night downtown, the Nappies.
Yeah.
Nappy Awards. This is the night that, the stars come out.
I think the most annoying thing to me is the paparazzi.
They're there. The stars come out. The dental hygienists come out. The Nappy, they recognize just about everyone from every walk of life. So it's fun because for folks who don't generally receive that kind of recognition, I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. What I like most about it is I use that list throughout the year. And if I need, a new doctor or used it to figure out what barbershop I wanted to go to, you go look who's won, who's the most popular, and then try them out. You're probably going to be all right with that.
You can go by a doctor's office that's in Lanyap, somebody that would be recommended, and just say, by the way, do you cut hair on the side? And get his price and figure out if you want to do
two for one.
Two for one right there. So it's fun tonight. That'll be at the Sanger Theater this evening. Jim Antle is the executive editor of the Washington Examiner, conservative publication, right?
Been on with Jeff a lot, right?
He has. I guess Jeff's done some work for him there, I believe.
They've interviewed, Jeff has had him on for interviews.
Yeah, we've had Frances Martell from the... No, she's Breitbart.
She's Breitbart.
Okay. All right, well, forget I said any of that. But anyway, Ansel was part of an interview yesterday, and I thought it was interesting. He was talking about how Trump's trying to tamp down this Epstein thing, or has been for the last week, it seems, or 2 weeks, and just kind of make it go away. But he was pointing out to the interviewer that Trump and much of his administration leading up to about 2 weeks ago were actually fueling this thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
So he talked about the, you know, the problem Trump is facing now and how he helped create it.
Yes, and 100% the people he's appointed and the people who he has around him, you know, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, J.D. Vance, you know, Ambani was, you know, promising the release of more information just fairly recently. They brought in all these conservative influencers to the White House in February. There are some reports that Trump was personally involved in some of that. So the about face, I think, on this is stunning to a lot of people. Then Trump's obvious irritation that he can't get this story to go away is feeding it rather than suppressing it.
And he also talked about, so Trump's having trouble getting the story to go away. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Trump generally is pretty good at.
Well, Trump has always been very good at sort of powering through bad news cycles and also getting people to pay attention to other things, you know, finding something else to get people to talk about something different, to change the subject. And I think he's tried that over the past week or so, and it just hasn't worked, or at least hasn't worked yet.
So that was as Ansel wrote the column, I believe it was yesterday. So he's speaking from that perspective. Things may have shifted a little bit in the last 24 hours.
Oh, they definitely have. So rumors started coming out yesterday that there would be a bombshell report to come out linking Trump with Epstein, and that it would be a really terrible look. And, you know, a lot of MAGA kind of didn't really know what to think about that. It's like, well, what is
What's
this
next?
Going
yeah.
to show? What is this bombshell that's going to drop? And it ended up coming from the Wall Street Journal. And I've got to tell you, I have not seen, and maybe, well, I know it's because there have been so many kind of false attacks previously on Trump that have come out via the media, via unknown sources, right, and that have been proven false. So people have a much, much more critical eye whenever some new surprising story about the president drops because, you know, how many more surprises about his actual personal and past life could there be?
Sure.
He's been, I think, I saw someone say he has had to have his life combed over more than maybe anyone in recent history, at the very least.
Well, not only combed over.
Litigated.
Litigated, combed over, but falsified. I mean, these things have come out and been largely, wildly false. And then it's years later, and still there's never any in a apology or any even, you know, just anywhere. That's one of the things that a lot of the critics of the left are saying, just come out and say, just get a restart. And but by and large, they don't do that.
And so I'll get to this story, but I'll say a lot of people on the left too are upset that this story dropped because they're saying, we thought we had him on the ropes, and now you're going to drop what appears to be an obviously kind of falsified story. You know, I can't say for sure that it was falsified, but I'm not in the minority when I say that it sure appears to be. So the Wall Street Journal, they put this out 5:45, it published last night. Khadija Safdar, who immediately, if she didn't already, put her social media on private when she posted this, along with another journalist, Joe Palazzolo, they write, it was Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday, and Ghislaine Maxwell was preparing a special gift to mark the occasion. She turned to Epstein's family and friends. One of them was Donald Trump. Maxwell collected letters from Trump and dozens of Epstein's other associates for a 2003 birthday album, according to documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. They say pages from the leather-bound album, assembled before Epstein was first arrested in 2006, are among the documents examined by Justice Department officials who investigated Epstein and Maxwell years ago, according to people who have reviewed the pages. It's unclear if any of the pages are part of the Trump administration's recent review. And they said the president's past relationship with Epstein is at a sensitive moment. They kind of go through everything that, you know, we've all been aware of over the last couple weeks, with Trump going after his own base and kind of lashing out. The letter bearing Trump's name, which was reviewed by the journal, is bawdy, like others in the album. It contains several lines of typewritten text framed by the outline of a naked woman, which appears to be hand-drawn with a heavy marker. A pair of small arcs denotes the woman's breasts, and the future president's signature is a squiggly Donald below her waist, mimicking, below the belt line hair. That's what we'll call it here. The letter concludes, happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret. So happy birthday, dash, and may every day be another wonderful secret. In an interview with the Journal on Tuesday evening, Trump denied writing the letter or drawing the picture. Quote, this is not me. This is a fake thing. It's a fake Wall Street Journal story. I never wrote a picture in my life. I don't draw pictures of women. It's not my language. It's not my words. He told the Journal he was preparing to file a lawsuit if it published an article. Quote, I'm going to sue the Wall Street Journal just like I sued everyone else. Now, the allegations that Epstein had been sexually abusing girls became public in 2006. He was first arrested that year. And then we all know he died in 2019 in jail. So they get down a little bit further. They say there were a lot of other quote-unquote elites that were part of this leather-bound happy birthday book for Epstein for his 50th birthday back in 2003.
Okay.
And they get down. So they say the book, it isn't clear how the letter with Trump's signature was prepared. Inside the outline of the naked woman was a typewritten note styled as an imaginary conversation between Trump and Epstein, written in the third person. So they allege here that Trump went third person for his birthday letter for Epstein. And the note began, voiceover, there must be more to life than having everything. And then Donald, yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. Jeffrey, nor will I, since I also know what it is. Donald, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, yes, we do, come to think of it. Donald, enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? Jeffrey, as a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. And then Donald, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret. Now, Trump has provided, this is where we leave the Wall Street Journal article here.
Yeah.
Trump has provided more written words via social media. He's not, well, he does write books, but, you know, he writes a lot online, and he talks a lot, and have we ever heard him use language like that in any sense? And many people pointing out he normally handwrites the entire letters that he's sending off to people. Typewriter is kind of an interesting change here.
Yeah. And what's the reaction to this been?
Well, pretty much, you know, online, everyone from the right to many on the left. Now, of course, a lot on the left are saying, all right, this is smoking gun.
Yeah.
There you go. Trump was definitely involved in the most shady parts of Epstein's life. But I got to tell you, many people on the left are seeing this and saying, I think the Wall Street Journal kind of screwed up majorly here. Pretty much everyone on the right are saying, this just looks like another fake story. You have J.D. Vance who said, forgive my language, but this story is complete and utter BS. And he wrote out the word. The Wall Street Journal should be ashamed for publishing it. Where is this letter? Would you be shocked to learn they never showed it to us before publishing it? Does anyone honestly believe this sounds like Donald Trump?
It doesn't sound like Donald Trump to me.
And people were searching, you know, through the archives to see if Trump has ever even used the word enigma. And he's pretty, for as good as he is with speaking to the public and having his ear to the ground, he uses easy language, right? And not to say that enigma is some kind of crazy difficult word. It just doesn't, it's not usually kind of what he would do. And to break the fourth wall almost for this story, but to write this story in third person.
Well, that's a weird conversation with Jeffrey Epstein that Trump dreamed up, really?
And so you also have people saying, this is clearly, you know, AI. Someone used AI to put this together. I don't know. To me, I'm just like everyone else. It doesn't seem like something Trump would say. Now, after all of this, last night, the president hopped on Truth Social and said, based on the ridiculous amount of publicity given to Jeffrey Epstein, I've asked Attorney General Pam Bondi to produce any and all pertinent grand jury testimony subject to court approval. He said, this scam perpetuated by the Democrats should end right now. Now, we also have earlier this week.
So that's Trump going against what Ansel's article was about, trying to tamp this thing down.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying he would like to see.
Well, that's what he said, but we have to acknowledge, too, that public officials, including Trump, have called for utter transparency and released the files on many other things before. And then when the files are released, there's tons of redacted stuff or it's not really what you would think would be released.
Right. It's not as revealing.
But we were talking about maybe maybe there's a possibility that Trump was playing 4D chess. And like I said, there's so many people that think Trump's always playing this extra game that no one can see, and I don't always believe that's the case. But what you have now is pretty much everyone on the right and left, minus a few people, that want to see the truth in all this, mm-hmm. and they want to know really what's going on. Even rabid Trump fans say, hey, let's hear it. If he's part of it, we need to know. And so what you have, he's saying now to release this grand jury testimony, you had Maureen Comey with the Southern District of New York, daughter of James Comey, who was fired earlier this week, back in July of last year. And remember, she played a major role in the prosecution of Epstein, of Ghislaine Maxwell, mm-hmm. and more recently, P. Diddy. She was a major part of all those cases. Last year, under the Biden administration, Comey successfully argued before a federal judge to seal certain Epstein files for public disclosure, citing the need to protect ongoing investigations and victim privacy.
Victims. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, it seems to me the investigation has more or less closed, the way that the Trump administration has put it. The victim privacy thing, I am totally on board with that, because it seems that anytime any of Epstein's victims go public, even though Epstein's been long gone, they find their way to the ground, under the ground.
Yeah, there's been a number of suspicious drug deaths.
And suicides.
Yeah,
at least four in addition to Epstein.
These are the young women that were being...
Well, a couple are young women. There was another accomplice who was set to go to trial a couple years after Epstein, who ended up dying the same way that Epstein did. I think it was Jean-Luc Brunel, if I have that correct.
You're right.
And so Virginia Giuffre, now her case was unsealed. Many of her documents were unsealed early last year. They had some redactions in that. But she ended up dying by suicide in Australia earlier this year. And I'm wondering, you know, how much of this sealed testimony, and I believe the DOJ has had plenty of access to all of this as well, but how much of this sealed testimony, what exactly would it show if it were to be released? Would we get a whole lot more information? Is there a chance this was kind of the plan all along? Make everyone mad to the point where release the files, and then you have whatever judge or judges, it's their decision, it's the court's decision whether to release this grand jury testimony. If you have all of America saying release it now, not just one political side, what kind of pressure that might put on them to finally put it all out there in the open?
That would be some 3D chess right there, if that's yeah. the way it was played. 823, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Morning. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 828. Epstein report looked bad for Trump. How long did the Biden administration have it in their possession?
That's what Billy D points out on the text line. And
now that makes sense.
He said, hey guys, this is Billy D. This has all been...
You had an election coming up. Mm-hmm. If they had the goods before an election...
Definitely would have used it. He said, this has all been investigated by the Biden administration and the Trump administration long before all of this came out. And believe me, in the Biden administration, if there was anything there whatsoever, they would have brought it to the forefront. It would have just been another tool in their toolbox. Ricky says, Trump is guilty as hell. I knew this before the letter. Texter here, there are certain character traits, both good and bad, that come with ballsy, strong leaders. Look at JFK and Marilyn Monroe. Now, I'm not arguing. I think Trump definitely likes women. There's no doubt about that. But even...
I like women.
Even reporters that don't
like women.
Trump. I like women.
I know that.
And even reporters that don't like Trump have said, you know, young girls have never been his thing.
Yeah.
I was reading that in the Free Press last week. On that Substack. Now, Martin says, I feel like Hillary's behind the Epstein hush up. She's gathered dirt on everyone, including Trump, and mum is the word. There's a list. If it was even mentioned when Epstein was arrested, et cetera. Yeah, I tend to agree. If they had the dirt on Trump, they would have used it. But we'll see. That was a big twist last night, so we needed to talk about it this morning. But I feel a lot of people are probably, at least for the week, burn out on this whole Epstein thing. So we'll move on to maybe some more fun stuff after the break.
Well, we'll check on the president's health. How about do that? Also, we've got some races now that might get a little juicy,
mm-hmm.
not only in the state of Alabama, but right here.
Yeah, so if Barry Moore ends up running for Senate. And he's supposed to be down at the rodeo this weekend. If he ends up running for Senate, who might run in his place? But more importantly, who do you want to see run for that congressional seat on the way?
ethic.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings at 8:35. Had some showers passing through here recently. So if you're in the area of 65 and Airport, careful. We don't need any wrecks on the roads any more than we've already had.
Yeah, that's for sure. And coming up, rest of this half hour, plenty to get into, including if Congressman Moore does end up running for Senate, who might run for his seat there in AL1. Yellowhammer News has some names, and not really any surprising names, but we'll come up with some of our own as well on the way. 8:35 and on a Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good, and it's a big weekend, of course, especially down on the island with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and if anyone's down there and takes a look at those trucks that are pulling those empty trailers right now, you're going to see a lot from McConnell because you guys have some really fantastic trucks, whether they're to pull a boat or a camper or just get you from place to place.
That's right, or a race car. First off, I want to tell everybody, please be careful out there, boy. It's a little rough out there right now, I hear. So everybody got to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, we got these unfortunate showers going on right now in Mobile. You know, if you have that unfortunate wreck, don't forget, we've got a great body shop. McConnell Collision, boy, they're number one in Mobile, locally owned, and you know, it's perfect.
They are great, and I've used them before, Louis, and you guys took care of me, and you know, also not a bad place to kind of hang out and watch a little sports on the weekend while you're getting your vehicle worked on, or take a gander around the lot. You guys have plenty of vehicles, both new and pre-owned, for people to check out.
That's right, and if you don't want to come to the lot, check it all out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, like you said, we have a great selection of used, pre-owned, and certified, and new, and take $10,000 off on pickup trucks and 0% on pickup trucks. We're the one-stop shop.
You sure are, and you mentioned it, the website, great as well. Louis, really appreciate it, and hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Y'all, everybody, be careful out there.
That's Louis Arata. He is right about the little water on the roadways, and you end up with more accidents than you could count sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, this morning seems to have been that way.
Yeah, and I have another one for you from Cheesewagon on the text line here in a minute. But that was Louis Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Tell Cheesewagon whose shirt I'm wearing right now.
You are wearing the Cheesewagon Party Bus shirt.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite pieces of merch.
I love it.
It's awesome. And actually, it's Chad who let us know about this. So I attributed it to Cheese Wagon, but thank you, Chad. He said eastbound.
I don't have any shirts from Chad.
Chad said eastbound I-10, a few miles before the Florida line. Left lane is closed. State troopers and fire rescue are working something in the wood line. That's always, I always hate seeing that. Said couldn't see a vehicle. So eastbound I-10. Few miles before the Florida state line, left lane closed, state troopers and fire rescue working something in the wood line.
So White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt revealed some details on President Trump's health yesterday. You talk about getting picked apart. So there was a couple of pictures came out, and then they zoomed in on him. He was just seated at one of his White House photo ops and press conferences, right?
Yeah, I think they got the picture from maybe that Club World Cup.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Where they had one of those pictures.
That's what it was, yeah. And so anyway, he was like, oh, look at his legs are swollen. So it turns out there is something to it. This is Caroline Leavitt talking about Trump's health.
In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease.
So, according to Scott Sundick, he's a vascular endovascular surgeon up in Westfield, New Jersey, which is right near Trump's golf course. So maybe he's got something to do with Trump's health. Don't know. He says this is a well-known and benign side effect of aspirin therapy, and the president remains in excellent health. Leg swelling is a common condition, particularly among older adults. As a practicing vascular surgeon, I see patients for this issue more frequently than almost any other complaint. So he says Trump's doing just fine. It's normal. 79? Is he 79 now?
Somewhere around there.
79, I think he is. So anyway, that's that, and we can put that to bed.
Well, it is kind of funny how closely a lot of these, and it's not even just like National Enquirer stuff, but what's the rag that used to be at the front of the grocery store and you pick it up and it's like, woman gives birth to triplet aliens.
There was the one that was, the National Enquirer at least had colored photographs. One was so raggy that everything was in
all black and white.
Yeah.
But there is a fascination with the health of world leaders, and there should be in a way. But a lot of people that look into things a little too closely, that was, I mean, his ankles did look strange, but a lot of people's ankles look like that, and especially at that age. But remember when Putin was dying of cancer 3 years ago?
He was at the beginning of the, or shortly after the war began, everybody was saying, look,
he's shaky.
Look at this.
Look, he's wearing a blanket, whatever it was. And so that's a pretty common thing to really dive into the health of world leaders just based on photographs and hearsay. But with Biden, I mean, it was actually one that mattered, right?
Yeah.
You'd have people going, he doesn't seem to be mentally there.
No.
And so many people saying, oh, you're just looking way too far into this, blah, 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 blah. Even saw on The Breakfast Club, I guess they had a former CNN anchor, or maybe she's still a current CNN anchor. What's the difference? And she was still arguing that Biden does not have any mental issues and that... And she was also saying, you know, Corinne Jean-Pierre was a lot of people were being racist towards her entire time in office, and that she had it so bad and this and that. It's just the same. It's funny, the people that are still on board with the Biden had no mental incapacity and there was no lying going on during the entire Biden administration.
Well, and regardless of what you think about the Tapper book and, you know, we've all got our opinions on it. He did talk to, he says, it's almost like the floodgates just opened up suddenly after the election was over and all these people were ready to finally talk. He said it was 200 people in all that they interviewed, and a lot, I don't know if he said, I don't remember if he said they all pretty much had the same opinion or so many of them did that the book has now been created. But that's funny. You mentioned that. You have to go across the Atlantic and across Europe to Russia to point out how Putin's looking shaky. Meanwhile, you've got the president of our country, and the press never touched it.
And a complete 180-degree difference from how the Trump administration responded to questions about his health with these images. I mean, the Club World Cup was last week. People really started talking about Trump's ankles. And, you know, the Drudge Report has a fascination with the bruises on his hands.
Yeah.
And he shakes hands all the time. Mm-hmm. He's older, going to bruise. But I think this might also have a role in that. But to come out yesterday, and Levitt was hearing it from everybody, from the Epstein stuff to the rescissions bill and PBS and NPR to this. And I think gave a, at least as far as we could tell, a pretty forthcoming answer on what exactly is going on with the president's health.
You know, leave it to Levitt. You know, we can, it's like, that's what she does. She does a great job of communicating in a straightforward way. She communicates, you know, you could compare it to her boss himself. She communicates a lot like Trump, and she's very forceful, and she's very factual, and so that's what she did. Yet, even if she didn't know the words she was saying, because I'm not sure that I did.
A couple texts, and then we'll get into this AL1 race. Jeff from Fairhope, I'm on I-10 eastbound. the wreck the guy was talking about. That's Chad that was talking about that. So there's a vehicle buried in the trees. They're having to dig the trees off of the car to get it out. That does not sound good. It's eastbound I-10 a few miles before Florida state line, and they have the left lane closed right now.
Wow.
Aaron says another wreck just happened. One car behind me on 65 south, a mile before the Moffitt Road exit. So 65 southbound, a mile before you get to Moffitt, another accident to look out for.
Closer to Pritchard, okay.
Fire Dog said, my father was diagnosed with the same thing at 81. He's now 83 and still does DoorDash 2 hours a day because he's bored. So
it's cool.
Little insight there from Fire Dog. This texter says, Dalton, it's Friday, still too early for PBR. Yes, you're right about the Pabst Blue Ribbon. Actually, my mind went to the Professional Bull Riders. Professional Bull Riders, yeah. Man, I used to watch that all the time. Now they're on Fox Nation, so there's that.
You were a little cowboy.
Yeah, I rode bulls.
Seen the pictures, yeah.
And junior bulls.
You took your daughter up. You took your daughter up there to ride horses one time.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Monroe.
She rode a miniature horse. This was outside of Thomasville. We went, and she rode a mini horse named Pop Tart. And, she won her race. We did a barrel race where I led Pop Tart with my daughter on the back of she was three. And my wife holding her on top of Pop-Tart. So all three of us out there in the dirt in the arena. And I think our barrel time, I think we got across in about a minute and 40 seconds. So she ended up getting a ribbon for that.
Team effort. And by the way, not to give all things away before they actually surface on the show here on Mobile Mornings, but is he now beginning to dabble in a life of stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
So Dalton has been, I don't know if she's been working with her or just recording her, but she is finding a new talent for at the age of six.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in between grades now, and you're asked to do something creative or constructive with your summer. And, you know, she's doing something highly unusual. She's looking at the possible transition to a life of stand-up comedy.
Yeah, she actually opened for Nate Bargatze at the Wharf earlier this week. That was a moment we won't forget soon. We got her a joke book. And because she's also learning how to read, I mean, she's pretty good at it, but still takes her time. The punchlines just land even better when it takes that long to get to the punchline.
Well, the few you played for me, just as an example, I said, that is content right there.
Yeah.
That's going to be part of the show.
So, it looks like, and he hasn't confirmed, I guess the announcement's coming up August 14th, Congressman Barry Moore potentially running for Senate, that open seat that Tuberville will be leaving as he runs for governor. And we've been talking about this. Jeff Poore has been talking about it a lot. Sean has as well. But Grayson Everett with Yellowhammer News put a story out yesterday. If Barry Moore goes statewide, who might run for his seat? And really, there aren't a ton of names in the mix to this point. You can already guess who name number one you would expect to run for that seat would be. And you want to?
That'd be Jerry Carl.
Yeah, that's right. Because Carl had a pretty competitive race against Moore for that seat. And Carl, the former congressman right now. So he seems like he would be ready to roll again. Here's what Grayson says. Carl seems ready to roll again in 2026. His fundraising operation and name ID are preparing to be repurposed less than 2 years after a narrow loss to his former freshman House GOP colleague in 2024. Carl is reportedly confident that his base hasn't gone anywhere and that the lessons he learned in the new parts of the district are expected to be essential to his ground game this time around. After raising more than double his opponent last time, his financial infrastructure reportedly remains in place as well. But Everett notes that Carl doesn't seem likely to announce a bid before Moore actually announces his. And then a couple other names here. Rhett Marks, and I know he's a state representative out of Enterprise, and I probably got his last name wrong there. Rhett Marks, Grayson writes, not only represents the profile of a rising GOP star who has positioned himself to fill Moore's shoes, it's rumored that he's interested in it, and it wouldn't be the first time he's done so. When Moore first ran for Congress in 2018, Marks ran for and won the seat that he held in the Alabama House. His tire and automotive shop is a staple small business in Coffee County. He has strong ties across Geneva and Dale counties, but he's also a native of Spanish Fort. All of these areas now entirely within the boundaries of the newly drawn 1st Congressional District. And then this is one Todd Stacey brought up with Sean when he was interviewed earlier this week. Speaking of the event Barry Moore is hosting across the state on August 14th to make his big announcement, Sylvania happens to be his wife, Heather Moore's hometown. It's well established. Heather is not only Barry's wife, she's also his closest political advisor and number one campaign surrogate. And that co-authorship of her husband's political brand is what we are hearing to expect more of. Mrs. Moore told Yellowhammer News earlier this year, I was on the road for weeks and weeks over in the other side of the district, which for them is our side, Escambia, Baldwin, and Mobile counties.
Yeah.
And Grayson writes, if her husband started covering more ground in a statewide campaign, it would be a force multiplier if she held down the fort across this South Alabama congressional district while he made new friends across the state. So potentially, Barry Moore's wife, Heather, may be running for the seat that he currently holds if he throws his hat in the ring for Senate. But I'd like to know from you,
yeah,
who do you want to see run? Who would you like to see throw their hat in the ring for AL1 if Barry Moore, or even if he doesn't, decide to run for Senate? Because there are some names that you could come up with. Now, one that's probably taken a hit over the couple last weeks that I thought of, but he's pretty popular, especially among the right. Tony Kennan, any chance?
Yeah, I don't see that. I wouldn't see that even before any scandal. I would not have seen that because number of reasons.
You think he's just kind of got it locked up? I mean, he's been mayor since 08.
Yeah, he's
kind of got things flowing there.
It doesn't
still growing.
He's got his own little beautiful city, and he's not. He's done his work. He's already, and the work is coming to him in a way. I mean, a city like Orange Beach, it's just a matter of really probably managing the growth. The growth is going to happen. Not a lot of challenges that he hasn't already seen down mm-hmm. there. Comfortable lifestyle. I think he would keep it. Try to keep it local. Also, so as far as the U.S. Senate now, with Tuberville running for governor, you have Marshall against possibly Barry Moore, but no one else is. I guess the Navy SEAL has thrown his name in.
Yeah, right? Hudson, and he's actually raised quite a bit of money,
yeah,
right?
Okay, so that's what Barry Moore would be in the middle of. Again, against A.G. Marshall, too. What do you think of that race? I've got my thoughts. And Dobson against Sorrell, the other statewide matchup on the Republican side that is now official. That's for Secretary of State. They're both pretty good campaigners. What do you think of that?
And Rock and Roll Doctor, as far as that AL1, says Trip Pittman.
Yeah, I thought about him, but he was on Jeff the other day. Didn't seem to have a high level of interest in running.
We'll have to see. Steve says Jerry Carl. He's vote for Jerry Carl. Sean says Dick Brubaker. Is Brubaker in that district?
Not sure.
That's a close one, I think. We'll get to more after the break.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was thinking there at the end of the end of that last segment. I know Sean said Dick Brubaker should run for AL1. I said, I don't know if he's in that. He just ran for AL2. So, yeah, he's not in the AL1.
Well, look, that whole thing got pretty confusing right throughout. And no problem. You were asking it as a question, and then you realize as soon as we get to the commercial, he just ran for two.
So yeah.
That's where he is.
Leanna's saying that accident we were talking about, southbound 65, about a mile before you get to Moffitt, it was someone carrying a trailer, and I guess all of the items on the trailer, or many of them, are now in the roadway, is what we're hearing. So be very aware if you're headed 65 southbound.
And, well, that's a little extra than just an accident, which is bad enough, mm-hmm. but if you had an accident and now the trailer has spilled everything onto the road.
The debris.
And now, so everything is just pretty much at a standstill.
I'm not sure.
65 South.
Yeah, we'll have to get more information on that here soon. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, wow, starting it with a bang, Senator Tommy Tuberville on in the very first segment with Jeff Poor. Then he'll have Todd Stacey on from Alabama Daily News, second half of that hour. And all Jeff for the 10 o'clock hour, as it stands right now. State Senator Chris Elliott will be joining him just after 11:30, as he does every Friday.
Mud dumping. Let's talk a little mud dumping with Chris again.
Yeah, and that was a big story this morning. A lot of you texting. It seems nearly unanimous at this point that listeners to FM Talk 106.5 are just not cool with the way that the Army Corps of Engineers and others have gone about this dredging and where they put that spoil. And you have city after city now lining up in opposition, as Baykeeper has, you know, threatened to sue to keep this from happening.
Feel maybe a little momentum on the national level with Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville, who could be making some sort of a move on us as U.S. Senator, but soon could be the governor.
Yeah,
right in the middle of it.
And I know Britt got, a small win in this last appropriations package, but pushing for a lot more as she continues to work on this up there.
And Shamari Figures also with that bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He brought that up.
Did figure for the mud dumping figures did?
That bill was. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the bridge. He's trying to get more bridge money.
My bad.
So the news, the Make America Healthy Again news that came yesterday, that Trump has convinced Coke to start producing Coca-Cola with cane sugar instead of corn syrup, and that's kind of been a quote unquote delicacy, right? Like the Mexican Coke with the cane sugar, and people pay more for it, and it's kind of a little extra treat. So New York Times, and this is what when you say, no matter what Trump does, or if it's done under Trump's leadership, they're going to find a way to have a problem with it.
Sure.
New York Times wrote this article yesterday. They grew up on Mexican Coke. Trump's cane sugar plan makes them uneasy. And they interviewed some folks who... basically, the gist of the article is that this one guy said, well, I just don't think it's going to taste as good as the Mexican cane sugar Coke. So that's all the reason for Trump not to do this. But also, the New York Times interviewed people who are currently selling Mexican Coke at like $3.50 a bottle.
So this is going to affect their bottom line.
It's going to wipe them out. Yeah. And so New York Times comes up with this big article that's basically saying this is ridiculous that Trump would do this. And that's who they got the quotes from. Crazy.